Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We have a very special program for you today. I will be bringing on our guest, Phil Armstrong, in just a few moments from the Prophecy Zone. And we are going to be in the Prophecy Zone today. We'll be talking about World War III. Didn't Jesus say that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and nation shall rise up against nation, and even your own household can rise up against you. So be prepared for anything, really, but I just wanted to mention a few things that happened this week. And there was a news report published in Charisma magazine, and I like to go there occasionally and see what is in the news. Sometimes they do publish news stories before I hear about it or other people hear about it. And it seems like Benny Hinn had a heart attack a few days ago, and he was admitted to the ICU. So. Although I'm not a fan of Benny Hinn, no, I'm not a fan. I don't believe Benny Hinn is a Christian. I don't even believe that he's really a born-again Christian. He's a con artist. But it is hard for the family, especially the children, when you have a sick parent. So, but the thing that's so ironic about Benny is that he'll tell you, and you can see it on his program, that some of these other scam artists that he has on, they tell you to sow a seed. And one of the things you can sow a seed for is for your healing. So obviously it didn't work for Benny. And this might be a good time for him to examine his life and get his life right with God and make a public repentance to the public for scamming people the way he does. So maybe there's hope for him. When sometimes when you're facing your immortality, you examine yourself, and so it might be a good time for him to do that. Also, in the news, Paula and Randy White, at one time when they were married and they purchased a property in Lakeland, Florida on 70 acres, and it had a 10,000-seat church building there that was built in the early 1980s, and it was an Assembly of God church at that time. When the Whites bought it, I think they bought it in 2005 or 2007, and so they bought this church, and they couldn't pay the mortgage. So, and they had people like Manasseh Jordan there. and you know, when you start bringing prophets into your building, you're only prophesying really your own doom. So in about 2011, of course, the Whites got divorced, and then in about 2011, the electricity was turned off in the building because they didn't pay their bill. And so the building sat vacant for the most part for 3 or 4 years with the electricity off most of the time. And you can imagine what happens to a building in Florida when there's no air conditioning and there's no heat. And the roof was leaking and the place was vandalized. The plumbing was vandalized. The air conditioning systems were vandalized. And this is how the whites and their so-called prosperity doctrines, how they took care of a piece of property. But anyway, they went into bankruptcy and foreclosure, and it was sold at auction a few months ago. And the people that bought it decided that they were going to tear down this beautiful 10,000-seat sanctuary. And you can see the video on the internet. They're actually a wrecking crew there as we speak, tearing it down. So it will no longer exist. And they are going to make senior citizen apartments out of it. So someone said God wrote Ichabod on it, and then someone else said, well, there was no glory that was ever there, so the glory didn't depart because there was no glory there. So it is a sign of the times, truly. So I'm going to bring my guest on. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Susan. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Great.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Good to hear your voice. And how's everything at the Prophecy Zone?
Oh, it's going. We are in the verge of trying to get caught back up with some prophecy because we've been out for a while.
Yeah.
For specific reasons. But, you'll be here for me.
Good. Yeah, sometimes it's good to take some time off. And then come back to what you're doing as far as your radio ministry. And I noticed that a few people do that. They take some time off and then they come back. So it's like you never left. You just pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
You know. And it's a great thing that we have this opportunity anyway to have these programs and to be able to bless people.
Yeah, man.
And we don't have to have millions of dollars to do it.
Yep.
You just go on Blog Talk Radio. And I encourage people to go on Blog Talk Radio and get a radio broadcast. If you have something to say, say it. And God will bring you an audience.
Amen.
So, Phil, now, we were going to talk a little bit about World War III today. So what's on your heart there? What do you see happening?
Well, first of all, today's show, when I bring up the blood and wounds, I'm particularly bringing up something that's been public for a while, brought to you by Mark Blitz, or brought to you by, if it's from God, we'll find out. But particularly the person who started it was Mark Blitz. So when I say blood and wounds, I'm coming off of him and J.R. Church, because he was on J.R. Church show, and this is when I first heard of it. Also, when I talk about Smita cycles and stuff like that, it's apparent that you can go back and look at it and see for yourself. I'm not trying to prove anything here. Matter of fact, the whole show is going to be, as far as I'm concerned, coming from 1948, coming from the last generation, because you know we're in the last generation. I'm not. What I'm trying to say, I guess, is a lot of the things that we look at in the last 15, 20 years, from Y2K to year 2012, those things are come and went. So a lot of times people jump on these anomalies, and when it doesn't happen, people get upset and they, you know, walk off, or they, you know, don't want to serve God anymore. But from what I see, from the blood moon, it's a possibility that these could be from God. I don't know. But if I was to count from 1 to 100, what percentage point do I believe they're from God? I think it's pretty high. And the reason why is because there, a lot of times when the Jewish people set their calendars, they set them in relevance to God's word. You look at Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 25. For instance, let's take Leviticus 25 when he talked about the Jubilee. And God said that there'd be seven sevens. And on the 50th year, everything returns back to its rightful owner and people are set free from debt. Now, you probably heard that on the Get Rich Quick TVN. But it's something else. It's something far greater than what they're talking about. And I'm going to point something out today that make you understand a lot of those people. We can even talk about these guys because they've been on my heart too, especially the last little fiasco with Creflo Dollar. But anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, the Bible speaks of, and you can go check it out yourself, the Bible speaks of seven sevens, which is the way God appoints time for his people. Now, he told Noah that there'd be 120. It says, my spirit will not always strive with man, but in this case, it'd be 120. And 120 what? He said, well, man's days will be 120. 120 what? And you go back to Leviticus 25, and the seven sevens, which is a jubilee cycle of 50. So when you count 120 times 50, you come up with 6,000. Now, a lot of people today, we already know, if you use your common sense, that if God made the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and there's 6 days of the week, or 7 days of the week, and 1 day is supposedly a Sabbath, but, you know, we got, in America, we got rest day anyway. We get to chill out on a three, you know, most people just chill out 2 days a week.
Yeah.
So there are sabbatical cycles of seven inside of these Jubilee cycles of 49. So when did God say he was coming back? It's pretty simple without all of these calculations. If you really think about it, a day to this, the key that he gave in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 3, he said, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And then he talked about the Old Testament cycle, which is 4,000 years. He kind of gave a hint when he was talking to Martha when Lazarus died and he delayed for 4 days and then he got there. It'll be 4,000 years in the Old Testament. So we already know that. It's already on paper. But how many days would it be or how many thousands of years would it be in the New Testament cycle where the age of grace when God is dealing with? So Hosea 6 talks about after 2 days he will revive us, talking about the mm-hmm. Jewish people. On the third day he will raise us up that we will be in his sight. And he's talking to the Jewish people. So after 2,000 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, at the count of resurrection, because a lot of people want to leave him on the cross, there'll be 2,000 years. So altogether, it'll be 6,000 years, or in case of what the Bible says, I think it's even in Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, because I want to point out something. When you look at Daniel 9:24-27,
mm-hmm.
he's actually given a time period where his first coming will be. And when it's a decree to restore Jerusalem, build Jerusalem up to the Messiah, He actually said it would be 62 sevens, which will be roughly 434 years between Anaxes declaring that he wants the temple restored, he wants the Jerusalem restored, all the way up to Jesus, which would be 434 years. Then he leaves out the 7 sevens for some reason, because he said it would be 70 when he starts. So when he starts off, he said it would be 70 weeks. So let me get to the point. The point is that what is God's plan for mankind? So in Daniel 9:24-27, it'll be a 70-week period, which is 70 times 7. So it'll be 490 years where God will deal with mankind and restore. And he tells you, let me find it. But anyway, I'm gonna really get to the point really quickly here. I knew this before Fire Charger kind of came up with something. He has a video, and what he was saying was that there'd be one more jubilee that will be counted when Israel would take Jerusalem. So when he got this from Sir Isaac Newton, who was a scientist, we know that, from the 1700s, who studied and loved studying Bible prophecy. This was a pretty smart guy. And what the mainstream Christian preachers teach is that the 69 weeks are added together, which would give you 480-something years, which will supposedly bring you to the time of Jesus Christ's crucifixion, which is exactly what it's saying, that Jesus will be cut off. But it didn't say that. If you read it closely in Daniel chapter 9, it says that 62 weeks, then the Messiah will be cut off. It didn't say 69 weeks, then the Messiah will be cut off. So there's 7 sevens still existing. And what Sir Isaac Newton was saying, I got this fire charge, but what Sir Isaac Newton was saying was that when Israel, well, we know in 1948 Israel was born. So we talk about in Matthew 24 the figs on the tree. So one of the figs on the tree was in 1967, which happened to be a jubilee year. Israel took Jerusalem. So what Fire Charger did, was he's a smart guy, is he took, instead of taking the Gregorian calendar and counting 365 days, he took a calculator that you can find online as a day counter, just put it in your search engine day counter, and he came up with 17,640 days, which will be roughly 49 years. Put it into the day counter, because I already did this myself, put it into the day counter, and from 7 June, the 7th of June, 1967, when Israel took Jerusalem back, put into the day counter 17,640 days, you come out exactly at Yom Kippur, 23 September 2015.
So what does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that the jubilee, the last jubilee, which will be the part of the last generation, will be the last jubilee will be the 49th year, which will be the time when if you look at Revelations, when Jesus is breaking that first seal, he's actually taking the title deed back from Satan. It just has to go through the process. So,
yeah, but what title deed does he have to take back from Satan?
He's taking,
I didn't know
that,
Satan had any title deed.
Well, actually, he's the prince of the power of the air, and he runs this world. So, Jesus,
well, he doesn't run the world.
So if you read, excuse me?
He's the prince of, he doesn't run the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Satan doesn't run the world. I mean, maybe he thinks he runs the
world. Well, no, in general, you know,
he runs ungodly people. I mean, obviously, people that don't know God act like the devil for the most part.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, God doesn't – I personally don't believe that God would hand over his world to the devil.
Yeah. Well, let me find something right quick.
Yeah.
I just had it, lost it.
Let's read, I mean, maybe there's something I don't know or I'm missing.
Let's read. Right now I'm going to read Daniel chapter 9, if it ain't for my Bible, but my kids. And
so, I mean, really, the point that you're trying to estimate Jesus' return? Is that the point
Well, just let me finish what I'm doing.
Okay.
Just let me finish up. Okay, so in Daniel chapter 9:24, it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sin. So remember that, make an end of sin.
Uh-huh.
And to make reconciliation for iniquities and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So actually Jesus is being anointed king for good. So, and then it goes on. So I'm not going to read the rest of that because I already explained it. But what I'm trying to do is first of all, explain that, like I started off earlier, we don't need any of these calculations to tell us we are in the end time. I've already established that fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say to y'all and to whoever's listening that as many signs as we've had signs in the 90s. Most of the people listening was probably born in the 90s. We've had signs in the 2000s. We've had signs since 2010. What's really ironic about the whole thing is that all the signs are converging at one time, and they're speeding up.
Yeah.
And it is not just the way it always has been. And a lot of times people can get comfortable even with signs existing. Yeah, we're in the end times. I've had conversations like that before where I say, yeah, we're in the end times. Well, we better get right. But really, we don't really get right. It's kind of like saying Merry Christmas to somebody, but do you really mean Merry Christmas? Now, when somebody says Happy Birthday, you actually mean Happy Birthday. But when you say Merry Christmas, do you really mean it? Well, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just like, well, you better get ready. And then the next thing you know, we're not. So,
it's obvious from the state of the visible church, the church that's the most visible, the church that's most visible to people is the television church. And obviously, for the most part, they're not ready.
Yeah, exactly. So let me finish it real quick because that's where I want to actually go with this. I guess what I'm saying is the amazing thing about the blood moons is there was never a NASA. And if they are true, we'll find out. Like I was telling somebody online, I said, you know what, I'm not really that focused on them. I mean, I admit I did go see that movie yesterday, but the intriguing thing for me is that a lot of things are lining up at the same time, even the Smita cycles, but the Smita cycles were there anyway. I mean, every 7 years, you can't just, like, stop taking time, so you know every 7 years it's going to be, you know. But when you count from 1967, every 7 years you can get a stock market correction. If you skip one, you probably got something else major just happening in that year. So if I would have known that when I was a kid, I'd probably be rich by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I would have been trading in cycles.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking about that the other day. But, you know, Jesus is coming back. You know, what I see a lot of is, especially on Facebook, there's a lot of arguing and bickering about, you know, some of the silliest things. And then I also see a lot of protectionism for, you know, preachers that go out and of course you know they're false, but I get worried because people defend, you know, these guys, and I'm like, why are you defending them? I mean, are we that, are the church, is the church that blind to sit up here? And even when you say, well, he did this, 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 and this, well, it's not for you, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. But that's not the case.
No, that's not the case at all. I mean, they miss, they don't read the whole Bible. They take a certain scripture that they heard somebody say, but most of the people sitting in the pew today don't have any Bible education. They don't spend time in the Word, and therefore they don't know it. So when they come out with those ridiculous statements, I know they didn't read the Bible. They didn't read it.
It's not even just the preacher. It's the people. And when you read Matthew 7, and it talks about enter in through the straight gate, and then right after that, is it 7 or 6? But anyway, right after that it says, beware of false prophets.
Yeah.
So in other words, the gate, it says enter in through the narrow gate.
Narrow, yeah.
And then right up under it, in most Bibles, it's beware of false prophets. So in order to get through the narrow gate, you have to have, I mean, not necessarily, I'm not saying you have to have a teacher or a preacher, but the Bible has to be there for you to read it so you can get through the narrow gate.
Yeah.
So if you have to be careful who's your preacher, because if you can't take the Bible for yourself and read it, you got to be able to, you know, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit to take the Bible and read it so you can get through that narrow gate. Because, and then it goes on to say, what's really mesmerizes me is right after that section, it talks about, you know, why you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say.
Yes.
And it tells you that he who does the will of the Lord will enter into the, and it, well, it, you know, you know what it's saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what about the people that call themselves raising the dead and all of this stuff? I mean, are they exempt? I mean, I used to think that way. I used to say, well, these guys are powerful. I mean, but the gifts of repentance, you know, the gifts are without repentance. Evidently, somebody's tricking somebody. And you get a lot of that stuff on Facebook. I mean, you see a lot of people self-proclaim preachers and apostles, and I'm like, wow. And a lot of those apostles don't even know we're in the end time. That's what kind of shakes me up a little bit. Actually, shakes me up a lot.
You can see it all around. And the thing that I'm happy about is that the Lord delivered me from that deception where I can, for the most part, recognize a false prophet and recognize a wolf, mainly by the way they handle money, because if they can't have integrity in that area, then I don't really trust anything they're saying. So, and that's what we see nowadays. Is we see people trying to make a name for themselves. They want to be on television. They want people to see them and to know them. And they don't make it about Jesus. They present a whole other Jesus. Not the Jesus we know. Not the Jesus that when we read the Bible, we see the life of Jesus. We see how he lived his life. That Jesus that they present is not the Jesus that we know. We don't know that Jesus. That's another Jesus. So that's what Jesus warned people about. And, okay, we're out there. We're warning people. We're trying to do the warning. And we can see that there's still a lot of people that don't want the warning. And but there's still, thank God, there'll still be voices out there warning them until Jesus comes. And even the Apostle Paul said, I cease not to warn you.
Yeah, they have on CNN, I remember seeing the commercial, but I guess I kind of just wasn't paying attention to when it was coming on because I sure watched it. But it was about atheist Christian.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch it. Yeah, I saw that though. Yeah.
Yeah, and I go to Bible study. I didn't go this week though, but I go to Bible study. I think I'm having an inner conflict, and that's why I keep missing it. But I go to a Bible study with a bunch of men, and you know, for the most part, most of those guys are, you know, legit. But I have a problem like with two of those guys, and they say some of the weirdest stuff, like really off the wall.
Yeah.
Well, at least one of them said some weird stuff. I mean, he was asking one of the guys there, who was actually one of the preachers at my church. He's actually one of the pastors, or used to be. But he was asking them about, you know, he says, well, I have my Catholic Bible here, and let me look through here. And I'm like, first of all, I'm like, you got a Catholic Bible? Okay, so I'll let you slide on that for right now. Then he starts to mention, like, we were talking about, I think we were in Judges, and we were talking about how I think we got off the subject of how ICE is going to churches and tear down the statues or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we got to the point of how the Catholic Church uses, images or toys, dolls, I guess, porcelain dolls as a idol. And he's like saying, well, can't we just use little trinkets? I mean, I got one in my car. I'm just like, really? I mean, are you serious?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the church today, even especially in my city, is gone. I mean.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, you can see it. You can see it. Like I said, there's another Jesus. It's a Jesus that we do not know. I don't know that Jesus that they're presenting.
There's a few more. It's like 40 or 50 of them. We don't know.
Yeah. So how do they reconcile that with the life of Jesus? Where did Jesus ever offer a trinket to anybody? Did he ever do that? He never did that. So if we want to know Jesus, then we read the Gospels, we find out how did he operate his ministry. That's the way we're supposed to operate ours, is the way he operated his. He didn't. He wasn't taking up tithes. He wasn't taking up Passover offerings. He didn't take up any offerings. So he just went about doing good and preaching the gospel. And nobody walked up to him and paid him off. They didn't have to bribe him to do anything. All these things that people make up today and that people will stand by, these are things that Jesus never did. He never took up a Passover offering. I don't remember him ever doing that. I never heard of him taking up a seed faith offering. There's just some things about God that are so simple. It's really so simple to know God is if we just read his word and find out for ourselves, because just like you said, you were going to bring up Creflo Dollar, and here's a man that I believe has no conscience. His conscience has to be totally seared, that he would expect people to buy him a $65 million jet so he can preach the gospel.
That was ludicrous. That was on mainstream, too. Mainstream news.
Yeah. And that was ludicrous. Like, you don't need a $65 million jet to preach the gospel. You could never fly enough miles, even if he flew first class for the rest of his life. It wouldn't cost him anywhere near that to fly around.
I guess my problem will always be with the leaders, of course. But my problem today is with drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They have the people right where they want them. They have them drinking the Kool-Aid and believing anything they say. And then how dare you talk about the anointed man of God? Well, there's one anointed man of God that I know of, or there's an anointed person I know of, and it's Jesus. He's the one with the anointing.
Yeah, amen. Well, I guess what I'm looking at, too, is I talk to a lot of my coworkers, of course, about God, but I talk to my coworkers about, like, politics, once, you know, and some of the things that they look at me crazy with, I'm like, are you serious? Are you really, you don't know about that? You really, and I guess all the way around as a culture, we only want to hear the things we want to hear, regardless if it's about your football team, if it's about, you know, food, if it's about anything, we just want to hear what we want to hear. And of course, it goes from just the normal things that we don't want to hear to the gospel that we really, really don't want to hear.
Yeah, we hear
a lot of, and it's just like selective hearing. And
yeah,
now,
selective
nowadays,
hearing. Yeah.
And nowadays, when I'm talking to somebody, and I ain't talking about my family or nothing, but I'm just being honest with you. I mean, regardless of what I'm talking about, like I got this guy coworker at work, and he only wants you to hear what he wants to hear. I'm really a patient person, but the minute I start talking, he's listening, but he picks up his cell phone and starts dialing and doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, is this what America's about? I mean, we literally can't listen to our own people around us, that we have to have an electronic device.
That's true. I noticed that too. One time I was talking to somebody, and she pulled out her phone and started checking her messages, like we're talking.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking at her face to face, but no, she's got to look at her iPhone. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The whole culture has changed and changing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I guess what's going on now is that we're just setting up, and that's exactly what the tribulation is about, is the mountain of iniquity that God is dealing with. I mean, it's a mountain of iniquity. I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't think it's going to stop. It's just going to get worse. Matter of fact, I think the homosexual marriage is being toyed with to be permanent across the whole United States.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
Yeah, because there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms where there's the kingdom, the church, and then there's the other kingdom. And so God has his own government, and then there's the government of the world. So God's government is totally different. But then you have this other government, and then we're seeing this, anything goes. It's like there's no law and order. You can't have law and order anymore. It's kind of they just pick and choose what kind of law and order they're going to have. For instance, like with the illegal immigration or illegal aliens, and they don't enforce the laws there. So how do they expect people then to come here and live and then to have any respect for any law if they don't have to follow it to get here? So we see a whole breakdown of society, I think, that we've never seen before. We see massive recalls, food poisonings. There's all kinds of things going on that we didn't hear about so much in times past, but we're seeing this whole breakdown of society.
Benjamin Netanyahu won this election, which I'm thinking is probably a miracle from God, but because first of all, it didn't start off as him winning. Well, at least it did look like he's going to win, because it looked like Abrams were going to come out by the droves, and apparently they must have came out to vote for him. I don't know what happened. But we know that he sort of has a mandate after winning, started off close and then all of a sudden kind of spread it out. And so now he has a mandate. And what did he say when he came and addressed Congress? He says, we probably end up going it alone to hit Iran. And one of the brothers, Bill Solis, was on my show a while back, and he was talking about Iran. And one of the things that just came up with Bill Solis is he not only wrote a book about Psalms 83, but he wrote a book about Israel hitting a part of Iran. Now, we kind of know that's by common sense that that's probably going to happen anyway. What I was kind of looking at a while back, is a couple of years ago, is that in Ezekiel 38:39, which is led to the invasion of Israel by the Russians and the congregation of other nations. Well, anyway, they come as the Bible talks about. They come in as a guard to them who they are with, meaning Russia.
Uh-huh.
So, if this is true, then if we look at the current climate in the Middle East, I don't think. A matter of fact, I think on the 24th, what's the date? 25th. The 24th was supposed to be the deadline for a deal, a nuclear deal with Iran. So, I'm guessing in the near future, maybe the next couple of days, weeks, months, we can see a hit on Iran. And probably with the climate, because I keep hearing the rhetoric from Hezbollah and Hamas in Lebanon, probably will respond to a hit on Iran this time. Because we already had one. We already had a war. A conflict, if you want to call it that, back in 2014, in April 2014. Believe it or not, that was the first blood moon. That was one of the conflicts that we had, was a fight. And it was over with a couple of days, weeks, I think. And then the climate's still there. Nothing changed. I think Israel is the one that stopped. So we're probably seeing development of World War III with Russia also. Remember, Vladimir Putin supposed to have disappeared for a while, so he think he had a back injury.
Oh.
And I don't know what the big deal was. I mean, if he's out of, I don't understand what the big deal is if a president, I mean, at least he don't disappear in Hawaii on a golf course. I mean, he disappeared for about 11 days. I'm like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Just let the guy go on vacation. But anyway, he came out. And he started to activate all of these and start to have all these training exercises. Well, we got a training exercise coming up. Let me find it on my computer. I think it has to do, well, I won't even say that. But anyway, it says, Feds prepare to invade Texas, list states as hostile. Now, I don't think that's this drill. I think it's just a drill for right now. So what I'm just saying is just a drill. But don't be surprised in the near future if they run a drill, it could even be this one, where they say it's a drill and they even run it nationally, that they're going to be running a drill, and it goes live. And what I mean by that is it's a drill. They just basically simulating, they practicing on how to deal with a catastrophe or something like that. But this is mostly detaining people, practicing how to detain, practicing how the police and the army is supposed to go against the American citizen for whatever reason. Now, if Israel, and I'll stay with me for a minute because it'll make some sense in a minute, if Israel goes into it with, in a war and kicks somebody's tail and ends up, you know, the war is over when they have a peace agreement. If Barack Obama or whatever future president decides to force Israel to concede East Jerusalem, then we can see some, I guarantee you, if the Bible is going to come to fruition when it says that if we bless Israel, we'll be blessed. If we curse Israel, we'll be cursed. If we divide Jerusalem, he'll divide us. So we know that the United States is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, and a lot of people believe it is. I don't know why would somebody take a, you know, something that's happened that's really bad and make it the United States is beyond me, because I don't, Babylon is not something I would like to be. I think Babylon is a spiritual thing, which is a worldwide thing rather than one city. Now, it will be represented as one city in the end times. It's probably actually Babylon. If it's New Babylon, it could be Jerusalem. I don't know. But spiritual-wise, we have Babylon in the churches today.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
obvious.
No problem. That's
yeah.
Obvious.
Yeah, I think that's a good statement that you made, is that Babylon is a worldwide movement. But
yeah,
then again, of course, it's a real threat, the Muslim threat. It's a real threat, and it's not a made-up threat. These people are for real. They will die for their cause. They don't mind dying. And that's the interesting thing to me, is that who, even if nations have nuclear weapons, who's going to use it? Because if you use it on someone else, you're going to also have the fallout from using it. So are they willing, is anyone really willing to take that risk, or do they just use it as a threat? Because who, maybe these people are willing to give up their lives, but who wants to suffer from nuclear fallout? Even the leaders would have to go underground. They couldn't come out and breathe the air. So to me, all that's very interesting, because I don't know if we're ever going to see that, because it has ramifications for both sides, the people that use it and the people that they use it against. So,
I think people are getting crazier. I think the world leaders are crazier than we think they are.
Power corrupts. We see it.
We see it
just with the people that are pastors. They have a little bit of power. And they go crazy with the power, with the money. So that's why Jesus put those warnings in the Word for us, is to stay small in your own eyes. Remember who you are.
Yeah.
You're just a sinner saved by grace. Yeah.
Amen.
Save the wretch like me. I was a wretch. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
I was a wretch. So we have to remember those things. And we can't it's good to have a ministry, and to have a ministry whether anybody gives you money or they don't give you money. You just do the work of the ministry, and you do it from your heart. I think from the examples that we're seeing, you can imagine that these people say they know God, and yet they can't handle the power and the money. And so imagine people that don't know God, and they've got power and they've got money. So it's a dangerous mix, very dangerous.
Oh yeah. Well, it doesn't exclude us from demonic influence. I mean, just because that's the first person he's coming after. That's the first people that the spiritual realm is coming after. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Yeah.
That's who they're coming after. It's somebody
that
they
come
influence.
After.
Yeah. So even on your daily shows for your kids, if these forces can get inside of those producers.
They get into your house through your television. So who has more influence nowadays, really, who has more influence over their children, the parents or the school or the television? Probably the computer and the television has the most influence.
Yes,
on children and on the minds of children. So.
Yeah, and through the floodgate, the eye is a floodgate. That's
it's a floodgate.
Yeah. So yeah,
and they
this,
see
this,
everything. They see everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where we didn't see those kind of things growing up, I didn't really see that much of that.
That's what I was telling my wife this morning. I didn't see it. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of times that this society wants to make everybody a victim, and it's kind of hard to handle a victim.
Yeah,
that's
very, very true. I was thinking about that too the last few days. How we have to get rid of that victim mentality. All right, so what? Yeah, you grew up poor and all that. Okay, so you're not there anymore. You know,
yeah.
And we do. We have a whole victim mentality now. And that's another dangerous thing. So it doesn't matter what circumstance you have. God can always make your life better. Or we don't know what we're going to have to go through for the gospel's sake. Because even all the apostles, they knew Jesus. Most of them walked with Jesus. But yet they all died martyrs. They were murdered.
Yeah.
Except for one.
That.
So, you know, that was the way their life was going to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need to, you know, prepare for that. Just, I mean, for
you
me,
just
don't I
know what's going to happen.
Don't know.
We could know. I wish that every day would be a rosy day and there would be no problems. But we all have to face things in this life, and it's not easy. But we remember that. Thank God for Jesus, and thank God that we have faith, and God gets us through the situations that we go through. And I, what would we do without Him?
Yeah, amen.
We see that. We see what's happening in the world. We see, you see the spread of Islam. When did you ever think that you were going to go from county to county in this country and there'd be a mosque there?
Yeah.
And not a small one.
A big one.
A big one. When did we ever think we were going to see that?
Wow.
So it's very, very interesting what's happening. And we get up every day and we try to do our best for God. And we see what's going on. We listen to the news. We look at the news on the internet. And there's always something every day. There's always something.
Every day now.
You know, every day, yeah. And things that we never saw before. So it's just like this plane that went down. Very odd. Very odd that this plane went down where it did. And so... a plane disappears. Whoever hears of whoever heard of a jumbo jet just disappearing and nobody knows what's happened to it?
Yeah.
How does that happen with all the communication that we have and all the supposed intelligence that a jumbo jet can disappear?
Yeah, something's going on more than we know.
There's a lot of things going on more than we know. Yeah. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes I think I just want to turn it all off for a few days or a few weeks and just get away from it and get into the Word and then come back to it. So I've had times in my life where I didn't watch TV for a year, 2 years, whatever. I just didn't turn it on. And I didn't have a computer back then. And I spent a lot of my time in the Word, so I found that my thinking changed the way I thought about things because I wasn't being influenced by the outside world.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is good. Yeah, we need a
balance.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I told you this on the last show, but I had a midlife crisis. My midlife crisis was not, oh, I'm not rich, I don't have this job or whatever. My midlife crisis was, you know, am I truly walking with God? I mean, which is a good answer that everybody should ask.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible talks about examining yourself. I didn't do radio shows. It's weird that you said that because when you were talking about, you know, having your own radio program and stuff like that, but sometimes you have to reach back and, you know, just take a break and look at, you know, what your heart is. Are you trying to do like Benny Hinn or some of those guys trying to get, you know, popular, or are you, you know, trying to, you know, just have people listen to you to be saying something? And, you know, those are the things we have to look at, you know, in these last days, because God wants, you know, those, the Bible talks about those who are first will be last and those who are last will be first. And to come out and, you know, just want to say something for somebody to hear you, or you even want to, you know, merchandise the gospel and say, look what I got. You know, I got, I was, well, like, Preachers of L.A. is like that somewhat. Preachers of Detroit is somewhat like that. I mean,
yeah, it's a terrible representation.
Yeah.
Terrible.
A lot of these pastors want to get things and, you know, look at and say, look at me, look what I got. You know, and, you know, it's just getting back to what I was saying earlier. It's not necessarily, I'm not judging nobody, but it's just the reaction that the church has. People who are in leadership position is gone. I mean, nobody seems to focus on that, but I think that's the root of the problem. It's no longer, because you know that we got bad leaders. Now the society knows that. That's why they argue, well, leave that man alone. He's just a, he's a man of God. He's a man of the cloth. You know, well, somebody need to burn the cloth because he's not,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He's not representing God.
No, he's not. Not a representation of God.
Yeah, it's not. He's not representing God. I mean, to put on a show that I'm sitting there and these guys are no better than the guys that come up on the Grammy Awards and say, I like to thank God for this award.
It's exactly the same. It's a, their performances are deserving of Academy Awards because, for the most part, it's a performance.
Yeah.
It's not about preaching the gospel freely. It's about collecting, for the most part, collecting 10% from people so they could have the good life, and then they're going to teach you how to have the good life. Well, you can't have the good life like they have it because you don't have 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people collect. You're not collecting 10%. So that's why they have the life they have. Most of them didn't earn the money through an honest living or through businesses or whatever. If they do earn it that way, then they deserve it. But they don't deserve to boast about, look what I have, because they're robbing you to get it. And so the whole concept of Christianity, and then you do see these programs like Preachers of L.A., and these guys live in mansions, and they drive Rolls Royces and Bentleys, and they have the finest clothes. But they didn't get it from an honest day's labor. They got it from robbing other people and lying and cheating. So that's not Christianity. And I would like to see that change. I know it's never going to change totally, but if God decides to take my voice away, God will raise up other people. There'll be other voices, but there has to be voices out there speaking out against it so that people can question it. So even if they, like you said, when they question things on Facebook or whatever, okay, let them question. As long as they're questioning and maybe it bothers them enough to the point where they go and look at the scriptures themselves, and maybe some of them can be rescued, because it's obvious to me now when I look at these guys and I see what they're doing, I can see it plainly what they're doing. I see plainly who they're serving. They're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They work for the devil. They work for the devil, and they've done a very good job deceiving people. And the Bible talks about deceiving the simple-minded. And so if they don't want to spend 5 minutes a day, even they don't even have to spend that much time, just a chapter or whatever. And if you go line upon line and precept upon precept, you'll see what the gospel really is.
Yeah,
and then you'll be able to recognize what's false and what's true. Because
yeah.
I wouldn't give up Jesus for anything. There's no amount of money anyone could give me to turn on Jesus and become a gospel pimp.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So why does it happen? How do these people let it happen? Where they did they ever know Jesus? Most of them
yeah,
didn't.
That gets back to that, you know, seeds being sown in different ground. You know, the devil comes and snatches the word away or the
yeah.
cares of this life or, you know, it's not deep enough rooted where, yeah, there is millions upon millions of people who declare that they're Christians and they're not. And I have to go through that. That's what I was saying about the midlife crisis. I have to really, you know, ask God and say, am I born again? And kind of like told me this in a subtle way, you know, make sure you do everything, you know, in the power of God rather than because then you're not having to worry about dead work. You know, if something's in the power of God, then you do it. And then if, you know, I can, you know, God to do something
sure.
with it. But
sure, he will. Not only that, but if you really belong to the Lord, then he does convict
yeah.
us of sin.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He guides us and leads us into truth. So as long as we stay with that mindset, is that I'm teachable, I can make a mistake, I sin, I confess my sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, and then I can be corrected. I can
yeah.
be wrong. But when you get to the point, like a lot of these people we see, you can't confront them with anything because they get angry. They want to get even with you. They want to kill you. They want to stop you. They've got the wrong attitude because whatever we say it for their own good. Don't be afraid of us. Be afraid of God because when God judges you, it's a lot worse than me and Phil judging you.
Amen.
That's a lot worse.
Yep.
So
amen.
It's a good thing to have brothers and sisters to speak into your life and to say things that maybe we don't like it when they're saying it, but we can think about it, we can pray about it, and if they're right, they're right. So that's what friends are for. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And
yeah.
So we're all learning, and I think, too, we see what we don't want to be. We see what we don't want to become. And a lot of these ministries, the big ones that we see now, a lot of these ministries, in 5 years, they won't even be around. They will not
oh,
be
no.
around.
No, they're not.
Television
Amen.
Ministry, television, the internet is going to take over a lot of television. A lot of these people, they've invested heavily into television stations, television equipment, and they're going to be hurting. They're going to be hurting. So whatever they built, and they didn't build it on a solid foundation, and they built it with lying and stealing and cheating, it's all going to fall apart. So it's not worth it. It's
yeah.
just not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's worth it to get up every day and earn an honest living and to know that we earn an honest living and we can enjoy our lives and we don't have to feel guilty because we're constantly scamming somebody trying to make a ministry. Trying to have
yeah.
a ministry and trying to have a name and all that it's just ridiculous and so.
Well, what's really ridiculous about everything is that a lot of times, you know, I talk to people, some of these brothers, and they're legit brothers, but I notice that they like to give me a name. I mean, you see it like for you, you just say Phil Armstrong. For them, they like evangelist Phil Armstrong or pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, man, I say, brother Phil, that's
yeah, that's
say,
enough.
Man.
That's enough. See, when they start doing that, that's when you have to be careful because, yeah, you go, wow, yeah, you know. And then before you know it, you're going to want to be the Reverend Phil and you're going to want to be the Bishop Phil and you're not going to want people to call you Phil. They have to call you by your title. So, all that is real heady stuff. And but we don't want to go there. I'm not going to call. Look, if you don't let me call you by your first name, then forget it. Okay, just forget about it.
Because
that's all you are. You're nothing. You're just a person that has a Bible, and God lets you read. Yeah, God lets you quote from it. So that doesn't make you anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. He can
I don't think I've
stamp
ever
you out.
Anything. I just call myself Phil.
Yeah, that's it. He's Creflo and he's Benny. He's not Pastor Benny. I'm always like, people call Benny Pastor Benny. Like, could you please tell me what church he pastors? Because he's not pastoring any church anymore. So, like,
amen.
Pastor Benny. And then these guys are such con artists that even when they talk to themselves, when they're sitting together talking, they don't ever call each other by their first name.
Yeah.
They all call, Pastor so-and-so and Bishop. I'm like, you are so phony. It's just so phony.
Yeah.
We have to lift up Jesus. He is the most important person in our life. He saved us. He delivered us. So we have to make it about him. It's not about these people. They can't do anything for anyone. They can't heal themselves. They can't save themselves. There's nothing they can do on their own. I think Benny Hinn is finding that out this week now that he's had a heart attack. And so he can't heal himself.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can see a big change in what we're seeing, and we can stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, because we're in perilous times, very perilous.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's such a rise in crime and all the things that are going on, and we just have to try to hold it together, you know.
Yeah.
But when are you going to get started again with your prophecy zone?
Well, we're doing it now.
You're back on?
Yeah, we're back on.
Yeah, so if people want to go to your channel, and is your Facebook page public?
Yeah, they can still go on Facebook. Prophecy Zone. Let me see. I had it open. Prophecy Zone Radio News is the name of the group.
Of your Facebook page? And so they want to go there and participate, they can
go. Yeah, they can go there. Yep.
Okay, and then your radio program?
Yep, and that's on Blog Talk Radio, Prophecy Zone Radio.
Prophecy Zone Radio, yeah. And so you all could check out Phil's broadcast and his Facebook page if you want to go there and argue with him or whatever. But my Facebook page is private, and it's for friends mainly, because I don't want to use Facebook like for people to tell me off and all that. You know, they can email me on my website, and they can email me at my program if you want to tell me off or whatever. But I like to use that for friends. I haven't made a public Facebook page yet, and maybe I will, you know, eventually when I get more time, have a group or whatever and go back and forth with people. But I like to use that as a friendly place. But anyway, I want to thank you for coming on today, Phil,
being
my guest. It's good to hear from you. And one of the worst Super Bowl games I ever watched this year. That was one of the worst endings I think I ever saw in my life.
Oh yeah.
Being from Washington yourself. That was pretty bad. Bad. I don't know. Maybe Russell Wilson's been doing too much yoga.
Yeah. So. Yeah, is he really doing that?
Yeah, he was really doing it, yeah. There's some pictures of him on the internet. You can see it.
Yeah, I see those. I thought they were just...
No, it's for real. Something about they started doing yoga.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know. Especially the Seahawks, you know, because they're kind of like, you know, well, Seattle. I guess they have marijuana's legal in Washington or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they're way out there. So, yeah. So their minds were clouded. All right, then, Phil. We'll be talking soon,
right,
okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. And don't forget to be with us every week on Blog Talk Radio. We usually have our program on Saturday at 1 p.m. We'll be playing this program on Saturday. And we're live, and we have a YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and a new channel, Greedy Preachers TV. So check out those things. And remember, the most important thing is to give your life to Jesus Christ today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, and have a godly sorrow for your sins. Read the third chapter of John today and the book of Romans. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Experience the new birth. It's real. You can have a brand new life. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. Set on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.